me last Sunday to preach this Sunday. He said he thought he'd ask Mark, and apparently he didn't ask Mark, so then he asked me, so I told him I didn't have no problem with that. I think Jamie will be teaching in here Sunday night, or Wednesday night, right? Wednesday night he'll be in here. So I told him I'd do it this morning. That's no big deal. While I was over in Alabama, I had studied in Ephesians, which that's where we had been, and then Mark's doing the commission lessons right now, but we're not going to be, that's not where we're going to be. I got to thinking, and this Vacation Bible School, Steve, the night that he gave me, and this is the route that I decided to go, the night he gave me is the believer's conversation, and by conversation, you'll find that Paul, I think Paul uses that term, I don't know, 5 or 6 times in his letters, but it's your matter of life. It's the believer's matter of life. And what we want to do is lay some groundwork first. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I know I could go here quite a bit, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if you would turn there. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." I looked at Webster Dictionary of the word new, because we if we are in Christ, we are a new creature. It says new. It says not existing before, made, introduced, or discovered recently, and now for the first time. It says we are a new creature in Christ. You hear, and I know I know most of us here did, grew up in churches before. We always hear the term born again. Born again, you know, you must be born again. John, I think it's John chapter 3. I'll turn over there real quick. You guys can, or you can just hold your place where you're at. But in John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, There is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these," because it says, "for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." I look up the word again in Webster's Dictionary. The word again, it says another time, once more, returns to a previous position or condition. So to be born again, no doubt here, well, we just read it in John, Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again. And then he went on to explain himself, he must be born of water and of the Spirit. You know, Paul just finished his series on baptism, that we have to be born of that water baptism, that baptism of repentance, that baptism for the remission of sins. Those are the things that Jesus is speaking of to Nicodemus here, and then he's baptized with the Spirit. That's to follow. But with the baptism of the water, you know, and it talks about in Acts chapter 2, Peter talks about in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Let me turn over there up to it. Acts 2:38, and I mean, well, I'll start in verse 37. I know we've heard this 100 times, but it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." It says, "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then on down, I think it's in Yeah, in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, and when the times of refreshing shall come," it says, "when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." The times of refreshing, that this born again that Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about, we're familiar with this, but this born again that Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about is Israel, when they were walking, they had to be born again. And they will be born again one day. I know Mark was teaching this morning that after the tribulation's over, they will be born again. They'll be resurrected in a fleshly body because they'll live here on earth. Whereas we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are a new creature. And it says, let's just go back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 now, where we started at. Chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." And then he goes on to say, it says, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And those old things that are passed away, you know, you always hear that, you know, those old desires, those things that we used to do when we lived in, when we were in the flesh, those things are what passes away and we become new. But those old things that passed away that he's speaking of is the law, is how they obtained righteousness in times past. In times past, they obtained righteousness through. Just hold your place there. Go to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, it says there was in the days of Herod, it says, the king of Judea, it says, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, it says, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. He says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and the ordinances of the law blameless. You know, that's in times past, that's how they obtained their righteousness, was through following all the ordinances and walking in the law, and they walked in the law blameless. Today, we obtain our righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, you can see it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You know, we're made the righteousness of God through Christ. And we're therefore we're a new creature. And Paul understood this. We can see that in Philippians chapter 3. Go to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to do a little bit of reading here, but in Philippians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1, and then we'll go to Galatians chapter 1. But in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." It says, "To write the same things to..." It says, let me start over. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but to you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of contentions." It says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." It says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Just like what we just read with Zacharias and Elizabeth, as far as touching the law, he was blameless. He says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then we'll jump down. Jump down 17 real quick. It says, brethren, it says, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. It says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, or our manner of life, if you will, says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. So, you know, Paul understood that he was a new creature. He understood, you know, we read at the beginning of Philippians chapter 3 there, all these things that he did, that he said that he obtained. He said that, says, though I have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. And then he goes on, gives you his resume. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You know, Paul understood where he was at and where he is now. He understood those. He understood that he was now a new creature, because down in verse 9 it says, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So he had an understanding. Now go over to Galatians chapter 1. I just start in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. It says, and all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of the God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? or do I seek to please men? Or if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of the conversation in time past. Again, his lifestyle. He says, for you have heard of the conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above me, my equals, in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me into His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, verse 15, it says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. When he's talking about his mother's, he's talking about Israel. He called, and but Paul, again, Paul here, he understood. He says, for verse 13, and right there in Galatians, he says, for you have heard of my conversation in times past of the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Paul's background, where he came from, he followed the law. He was blameless. He did all these things in the law, but now he recognized that it's absolutely. He recognizes now that he can't obtain that righteousness through following the law. What he's saying in Philippians, he counted it as dung. It was all waste to him. He trusted in what Christ did at the cross, and he trusted in that righteousness that he obtained through Christ and what God did through Christ. But and then, like I said, we were talking about earlier about being born again. I had a friend that we got talking about being born again, and I said, I tried to explain to her that, you know, we're not born again. I said, I'm not saying that when it's mentioned in the Bible, it's an absolute. I mean, they had to be born again in order to reach the kingdom of heaven. I mean, Jesus told Nicodemus that they must be born again. You must be born again. And when people talk about being born again, they're saying that. In essence, what they're saying is that they're saved. They're born again. They're saved. But we're a new creature. We're new. And Paul knew that. And Paul recognized that. So with that, I'm talking about in a conversation, it talks about that. Paul's talking about our conversation and our lifestyle. In Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, I'll just start in verse 23. It says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me and for my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, and that you stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, it says, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me." Paul says, "You know that our, you know, we have, says only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I, you know, that's what our manner of life, our conversation should be that becometh the gospel of Christ. You know, we tend to, I get off course. I allow myself to get preoccupied. I get busy. I'm doing these other things, and I don't allow that to be my conversation. I don't allow that to be my matter of life." And you know, Paul understood this more than any. You know, we look back at Paul's life, and you see Paul, and you see where he was at. You see him as Saul, and you see, and you, he told we've read what he's done. He explained to us in Philippians chapter 3 all those things that, if he could trust in the flesh, he's got all the right to trust in the flesh, because he's obtained all this stuff through the flesh. But he recognizes now that that means absolutely nothing. That what matters is Christ, and Christ in him. He recognizes that, and he sees that, and he understands the importance of that. You know, and we look back, and that's why Paul. And we can read back, and I can't remember how many times it's mentioned, but through Paul's letters, many times he talks about how he's, and I know Paul's read them here before, but many times he talks about how he's our example. He's our example. Follow me. Be followers of me. Because we can look at Paul and we see his life, and he was a man, you know, and we read in Romans, you can see in Romans, I think it's Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, you know, I do those things that I don't want to do, and I don't do those things that I know that I need to do. I mean, I know I can relate to that. I relate to that daily, where I don't do those things that I know that I should do, and I do those things that I know that I shouldn't do. But it still didn't take away from the fact that Paul trusts in Christ. That's why Paul in Galatians chapter 2, that's why Paul's able to say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He sees that, and he always mentions righteousness by the faith of Christ, righteousness by the faith of Christ, righteousness by the law. How that, you know, he's not trusting in his righteousness based on the law anymore. He's trusting in his righteousness based on what Christ did. That's what, and that's the message that Paul's trying to get across here, and that's where he is. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, I know we do a lot, we're doing a lot of flipping here, but over in Ephesians chapter 2, this is where we're at. When I pick back up on Sunday mornings and Sunday school, this is where we'll be at. But it says, and you, starting verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all have our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remember, Paul says over in Philippians, we read our conversation is in heavenly places, and then right here in verse In verse 6, he says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." It says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want to look at, in verse 1 it says, And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then in verse 5 he says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. So we were, before we became Christians, before we trusted in what Christ did, we were dead in sins. But look over in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, do a little more reading here, starting in verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And he answers, he says, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" See, back over in Ephesians chapter 2, what we just read, he says that we were dead in sin. Right here in verse 2 of Romans chapter 6, he says, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" So we are dead to sin. It says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. But if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." I'm going to stop right there for a second. You know, it says that he that is dead is freed from sin. We talk about grace. We talk about the grace of God, and this grace of God, and how we're free. And I know Paul's made mention of here before. You know that once we trust in what Christ did at the cross, once we trust that He's paid it all, that there's absolutely nothing that we can do, and that when we trust in that, and we believe in that for our salvation, that's it. We're saved. But it also frees us from sin. We are freed from sin now. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, we read that we were dead in sin. But now, because of what Christ did, we are freed from sin. It says now, verse 8 says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth, He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive in unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So, people say that as grace believers, that we say that we have a free license to sin. Well, Paul answers that right here in Romans chapter 6. That no, we don't. We should consider ourselves, or Paul uses the word reckon. we ought to reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, that we need to live our lives according to the righteousness of God. And Paul understood this, and this is the truth that he's trying to get across. Over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 to 22 and 23. Yeah, 22 and 23 says that you put off concerning the former conversation. Again, the word conversation, the manner of life, says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He says here in verse 23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Over in Romans chapter 12. Over in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I know Paul's made mention of this before, but we do have a reasonable service unto God, and that reasonable service is to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And that's, again, we can go back to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where Paul understood that. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless. He says, nevertheless I live, yet not I that live, but Christ lives in me, through the faith of what Christ did. He says that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, verse 2 sheds a lot of light. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. And we prove that through the Scripture, through the Word of God. Through the Word of God, prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I know Mark was talking this morning, and was it in Mark chapter 16, where you said verses 9 through the rest of the chapter, they were saying that wasn't even real Scripture because of it wasn't in some of the old manuscripts. But that's where as believers today, when you sit down, you have to make a determination. You have to decide within yourself, is this the authority of God? Is this the final authority of God? Is this the Word of God? Is this what we're trusting? Is this what I'm going to use to prove my salvation? Is this what I'm going to do to prove what chapter 2 or verse 2 says? Prove that is what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because this is the truth that we have today. Is the King James Version of the Holy Bible that God? How can, and this is something I try to talk to, because I have people that I work with. They use the NIV, they question me, and I said, well, how can a holy God hold us accountable for anything if we don't have His Word, if we don't have His fulfilled Word before us to be able to read and to prove those things that He's telling us to prove? How can He possibly hold us accountable? He can't. So therefore, we have to decide and determine within ourselves that this is the authority of God and this is what we're going to follow. Because if we don't decide that, if we don't do that, then you're wasting your time, because you'll find differences, you'll find contradictions, you'll find all these things if You don't determine what is the truth and what is the perfect will of God through His Word. First, real quick, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 9, it says, "For we are laborers together with God." It says, "Ye are God's husbandry." It says, "Ye are God's building." It says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Paul says in verse 10 that he has laid the foundation. He has laid this foundation. You know, in Galatians chapter 1, we read earlier that he said he didn't receive this gospel from man. He received this gospel from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul's laid this foundation. But then it says that, it says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." Now, we need to take heed how we build on this foundation. Make sure that when we share, that we share truth. That make sure that when we share, that we share the Word of God. That, you know, when I'm sitting down with somebody, I try to make sure that I don't like to give people my opinion. I like to give them Scripture to go on, because if you give people your opinion, then they can combat you with your opinion. But if you sit down with them and show them Scripture, then they have to prove within themselves why that Scripture is correct or why it's not correct. And then it's not an issue between you and that person. It's an issue between that person and the Word of God at that point. And they have to make that's where they have to make that decision. And it's not for us to save anyone. We can't save anyone. We can only show them truth, and then hope that within that they find that truth within themselves. And God will shed. I know when I first started writing the Bible, when I first started understanding truth, it's like I know that terminology has been used before, but it's like a light came on. You start seeing truth, and you can see the distinct difference. There's so many. It's like you said, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You could just see to the Jew. Go not to the Gentiles. Go to the Jews. The dogs. God calls us dogs. If we study, we miss so many words in the Scripture when we read the Scripture. When we don't study it. We just read over it, and so many words that mean so much that make such a big difference. And I know, in Christ and the faith in Christ and the faith of Christ. That's just one small example. There's so many. You got the but nows, and you have so many words that are just so easily overlooked. And that's how I think in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm not going to go there, but in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about being tossed to and fro, and with every wind of doctrine. So, when you get in your Scripture, and when you study the Scripture, and when you understand the Scripture, it prevents us from being tossed to and fro, and it prevents us from taking, Paul talking about taking heed on how we build upon that foundation. Because if you're tossed to and fro, then you're not building on that foundation correctly. We need to renew our mind. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 12, what we read, about renewing our minds, about proving what is right, proving that it's the perfect will of God. And we prove that perfect will of God through God's Word. That's how we prove God's Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I just thought about this. Verse 7, it says, "For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." It says, "But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." It says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." It says, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the hearts of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." I had not seen or ear heard. That's this mystery that Paul talks about, this mystery of Christ. I mean, I had not seen or ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, that which God had set aside, that this mystery, this fact that Christ died on the cross for our sins, the fact that He accomplished it all when He died on the cross and that He was resurrected on the third day. When we trust in that and that alone, that our conversation should be that and that alone, and our conversation, our lifestyle should reflect the gospel of Christ, that we should, as when we walk in this newness of life, that we should share with others. It's like Mark was talking about this morning, about how Mary and them, they went back to the disciples when they went to the tomb and found the tomb empty and Jesus was gone. They went back to tell them, and it said, and they believed Him not. They didn't believe. Said the disciples, those disciples that spent the last 3.5 years of Jesus' life with Him, Jesus sharing the gospel with them, sending them out to share the gospel. But yet when they went to Him and told them what happened, and Jesus Himself had told them on numerous times, you know, that what was going to take place, that He was going to be turned over to man, and that man, they were going to crucify Him on the third day, that He was going to be resurrected. And then the verses to follow says, and they understood not these things. They didn't understand that it was hid from them. All those things, it says that. So when Mary went to them and told them that He was gone, says they believed her. They believed her not. And you think, how can you not believe that? I mean, how can you? We've got the completed Word of God. We've got 2020 hindsight. I mean, we can see, we know what has transpired. Where that was, it was afresh to them. It was new. I mean, it was, and when we look back and we say, you know, how can you not believe? How can you not believe? But yet, as we walk our daily lives, day in and day out, do we live our lives as if we believe or not? I know Paul preached on believing and faith, and how there is a difference. The faithful, Paul, when Paul writes his letters, he says to the believers and to the faithful, and there's a difference. There's a distinct difference. We must, you know, we need to be faithful in this gospel. That we need to share it with others. We do have a responsibility. People say that we have no responsibility, but we do have a responsibility, and that's to be faithful to this gospel.